The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
America tonight, and as we roll into this hour of the show, I think one of the saddest pieces of a video that I've ever seen are some of these furious vets who were crying in Phoenix at a packed town hall to talk about what delayed care meant for them. It's always putting a face to what the problem is. Like 200 plus veterans, they jam themselves in the American Legion Hall. And one of the stories was about a guy who had cancer and was told to take pills for the cancer and then come back in a while. And it would certainly help alleviate those symptoms and what? Alleviate symptoms of cancer? What are they talking about? And so there was confusion over that. There was another man who actually told the crowd that the VA urologist wouldn't do a prostate biopsy on him for 14 months. Instead, they prescribed testosterone shots and antibiotics. When he was diagnosed with cancer, the VA police arrested him for complaining. How do you arrest a guy who had this problem and then it's 14 months later and it's full blown? I mean, that's just outrageous. So here's the good thing. The Concerned Veterans for America, the American Legion, have joined Congress in demanding for the resignation of the Secretary of the Veterans Administration, asking that he be booted for what has happened across the country. And you can't blame other people. If this is your baby, you got to handle it. And I agree. I don't think he had a handle on anything that was going on, because it's not just in Arizona. There could be other problems in North Carolina, in Colorado, in Georgia, in Texas, for that matter. Do they need to hire more doctors to shorten the veterans' waiting times for appointments? What do they need to do to get people in sooner? And what do we need to do to make sure that that happens? I mean, those are the big questions to me. You ask somebody to go and serve, they serve again and again, they come back, and they can't even see a doctor. It's unacceptable. There has to be a better way. And just when you think things are safe, the Washington Monument opened earlier in the week. How about the elevator halting in the middle of that reopening? So the elevator in the monument stopped working on Wednesday, which frustrated visitors. After it finally opened to the public, the National Park Service says the elevator in the 555-foot obelisk temporarily stopped just before 11 o'clock in the morning. 11 visitors in the elevator were able to get out at ground level. Whew, that's a breathe a sigh of relief. 61 on the observation deck got out safely. Some waited 90 minutes for an elevator when it stalled at the top. Oh, my. You know, it's the tallest stone structure in the world. How cool is that? A normal elevator trip to the top takes a little more than a minute. It opened to visitors, already mentioned this, on Monday, almost 3 years after it was damaged in a 5.8 magnitude earthquake. Repairs on this thing, $15 million. Some of it came from one generous donor. Really, you split that in half, and so that was pretty good. They got half of the money for the Washington Monument. To me, just an eye-catching ode to George Washington. Wherever you are in the city, that's the focal point. When I first went to Washington, I remember people told me that. If you get lost, look toward the Washington Monument, and you'll get your path back. You'll know exactly where you are. And I use that as a landmark every time I go to Washington, it seems, especially when I'm walking around in a lot of those spots, the path leads me back there should I get somehow discombobulated. Moving on to something else that I think at the top requires some attention is what we've talked about now on America Tonight for a very long time. And what we've talked about on this show is what is going to ultimately change the way we do business here in the United States when it comes to the people who do represent us, when it comes to the frustrations over some laws that we think should be made, and the waste of time moments that are costing us all so dearly. One of the wasting the time moments is Chris Christie, who could be the nominee in 2016 for the Republicans. Who's to say? They're saying that Bridgegate's not going to affect Christie in 2016. Because that was my first reaction when it happened. If they can pin it on him, it'll be tough. He did an interview, Chris Christie, with CBS newsman Bob Schieffer, and said he's not the first chief executive to have a staff member to do something inappropriate without his knowledge, and insisted the scandal absolutely won't affect his political ambitions. Two Christie aides were axed after revelations that lanes to the George Washington Bridge were already closed last September for political retribution against the Democratic mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey. What a crazy, crazy story that is. This is a guy who had approval ratings through the roof, so it made no sense. Why would he be paranoid? Sure, he might like the endorsement, but was it going to really affect him that much? The answer is no, it was not going to do that. And so none of the story really made very much sense. Didn't make very much sense. Christie, by the way, also took on the issue of his state's more than $800 million budget shortfall, saying the fault lies with state economists, that we just missed it. And the great thing about economists, this is Christie, says that's all they have to say. He doesn't want to fix it with a tax hike, but says he has limited options. He's got 45 days left in his fiscal year. That's not much time. I'm saying that could be a tax. Oh, boy. And already the toll taxes are pretty high. So how do you stop the insanity? How do you stop the insanity is to immediately call for an investigation, get it over with as fast as possible to say, listen, there was nothing here. So where there's smoke, there's fire, there was. He got rid of the aides. He had no idea. And it shows you how much politicians often don't know what's happening around them. That's why they have the aides. They handle all of the day-to-day operations because the person in office is so busy, they rely totally on whoever their most trusted aides are. All right, we're up against it. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing all new Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary new way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-721-4255 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The Plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. And more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-721-4255. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. You won't see this limited-time offer on TV. It's a radio exclusive. 1-800-721-4255. 1-800-721-4255.
Talking about Obamacare and whether or not the Republicans are going to push this to the limit, go for the jugular, really push the idea of repealing, not just talk to it and give it lip service and go out and stump for votes and try to get people really rallied around them, because they know a lot of people are upset with the kind of coverage they're getting once they've got it and they're dumped from some other plan. So I thought it'd be fun to have on the show, for a really interesting point of view, Hadley Heath, the director of health policy, the Independent Women's Forum. Hadley, thanks for coming by and spending some time with us to talk about this.
Of course. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. So here's the question. The Pew poll comes out, and the numbers are sky high that there's massive opposition to Obamacare. So who are the people that are saying this thing is so bloody good? I don't get it.
You know, there are a lot of people in the United States who still believe that Obamacare is not relevant to their lives, that they maybe haven't been affected yet, or they see premiums continue to increase. Maybe they're in an employer-sponsored plan in a business that isn't facing some of the mandates in Obamacare because the White House has delayed some of those mandates, or at least the enforcement of them. So I imagine that there are some people who may have a relative or a friend who's been able to get a subsidy, or they see that there are some winners. You know, sometimes when we talk about what a terrible law this is, we forget that there are some winners. Unfortunately, they're vastly outnumbered by the number of people who are losers under Obamacare. But if you do have anecdotal evidence that the law is working for somebody, I guess real persistent liberals might still show some soft support for Obamacare.
Yeah. It was just a couple of months ago that the Pew USA Today poll showed that voters really think this is a priority in November. So much so that the national survey then said that 64% of Republicans who are registered voters say a candidate's stance on the health care law will be very important in their voting decision. Very important, compared with 52% of Democrats and 45% of independents. I think the independents are a key demographic here. And then talking about, you know, how many approve and disapprove, which we have now with the new people, do you believe it will have a massive impact on the midterm?
Absolutely. I think that Obamacare continues to be one of the driving issues because, among other issues, it really represents two diametrically opposed approaches to public policy, to government. If we want government involved in areas that the government has no constitutional purview, that the federal government traditionally has not played as big of a role, then this issue really tends to be a bellwether about the American public's view of the role of government in our economy, in our society, in making some of what we consider the most personal decisions in our lives. And when people are asked about the reason why they disapprove of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, of course, one of the top reasons they give is that it's simply too much government involvement in health care. So when we talk about Obamacare, sometimes what we're really talking about is the size and scope and role of government. That's why it's such an important issue, because it really represents which side of the bigger philosophical battle these candidates are on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So the Obamacare alternatives, what are the real alternatives that could work?
Well, you know, in addition to having a different approach to public policy, conservatives have a different approach to how public policy should be made and should be changed. Of course, one of the frustrations that the public has with Obamacare is that it's been very difficult to follow, difficult to understand. Of course, one of the reasons this Pew poll is so important is because many Democrats and supporters of the law said, let's wait until the law is fully implemented in 2014. Then people will come around, then people will like Obamacare. But disapproval of the law persists. Pew is a very middle-of-the-road polling agency. They're not trying to throw the numbers in favor of or against Obamacare, but they're reporting on the facts. And conservatives, of course, want to change public policy in a way that is clear to the American public, that is not a 3,000-page bill, but perhaps is a stepwise approach to making changes. Of course, the first big change that should take place is complete and total repeal of Obamacare. But moving from there now, of course, not only has the political landscape around health policy changed in a post-Obamacare world, but there are very practical transition measures that Republicans have to take into account in their plans for people who maybe have signed up for Obamacare. What are we going to do with the people who believe that they are enrolled in an Obamacare plan? So those plans hopefully include some type of transition mechanism, but the end goal, Kate, is to get to a place where we have a more robust marketplace in health insurance, because we have almost never had that in the United States. We have a lot of market distortions, a lot of inequalities in our tax code that favor some consumers over others. And, of course, in some states, the sale and purchase of health insurance was already very tightly regulated before Obamacare. So the conservative vision for health reform is one where health insurance is customizable, that there is a diverse array of insurance policies available to people if you want a high deductible or if you want a low deductible, if you want catastrophic coverage or if you want comprehensive coverage, that consumers should be free to make those decisions rather than having the federal government dictate what's in every insurance plan for sale.
Yeah, I agree on the whole idea of competition, too. I mean, obviously, I think the prices would be way more affordable if you just erase the state lines. You know, if you just let people shop, then as an insurance company, you would be forced to look at all these alternatives, but you'd also have more people to feed and you'd have those numbers. Don't you think that would have made a big difference?
Absolutely. And I think, the concept of market competition that you're talking about is so important, not just in health insurance, but also in health care, because Obamacare's deepest flaw, one of its deepest flaws, is that it completely ignores economic incentives. And people respond to economic incentives even in an industry like healthcare, which we consider sometimes to be a basic need, especially if someone needs urgent care. The number of doctors and the networks that are available to people, the reimbursement rates to doctors, these are very important things to follow, as well as the sheer enrollment numbers, because, of course, we want there to be enough care, enough supply of providers, for example, to meet the needs of the American public, rather than Obamacare's approach, which is to give as many people as possible an insurance card. That's not the same thing as accessing quality health care services when you need those. So I think the focus also has to be less on health insurance and more on health care. And I hope that that's the direction that conservatives go with some of their alternative proposals.
Yeah, I agree with you. If that doesn't happen and it's more of the same old, will Obamacare stick? I mean, we'll just stay around and we'll be kicking this football down the field for decades to come.
You know, we can see this in some other government programs. I think Ronald Reagan said something like there's nothing closer to eternal life on earth than a government program. So unfortunately, even bad laws have some staying power when they metastasize or when they gain what we call a status quo advantage. And of course, before Obamacare, the system we had before, I believe, the government and the state government already played too big of a role in making healthcare consumers' decisions for them. But it was very hard to change the status quo in 2010 when Obamacare passed. It will be difficult to change the status quo now, and the status quo now, of course, is Obamacare. But that doesn't mean it's impossible, and certainly polls like this one from Pew tell us that the American people would like to see us change direction.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Hadley Heath, Director of Health Policy Independent Women's Forum, thanks so much for the conversation.
Of course, thanks for having me.
And you heard what Hadley had to say there, that what happens, the Reagan quote was brilliant because that's exactly what happens. It's going to keep staying. Are we going to tweak it a little bit? The Pew Research Center poll, in case you don't know it, when I talk about the disapproval, which came out late last week, of the law, it hit a new high of 55%. And this is really right on the heels of several polls that showed the law had very little, if any, kind of a bump after the signups on the healthcare exchanges exceeded the goals. So once it hit the goals, the previous high for disapproval of the law was 54% in Pew polling. That was at the height of the problems back in December, if you remember. So 43% of Americans disapprove of the law strongly. Also a record high. 41% of Americans currently approve of the law. That's higher than the record low of 37%. Oh, man. It'll be fun to watch this. Stay with us.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
I'm a very bad man, and today I watched you leave for work. Then I kicked your door and took your stuff. Without a door devil reinforcing your door frame, it was like you invited me. Don't worry, I'll check back in a couple weeks, once you've got new stuff.
Door devils are available at participating Ace Hardware stores and locksmiths, or visit DoorDevil.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Of what are possible blunders, I think, to kick things off on a Monday. Boy, there really is a slew of them. But probably the biggest is furniture. And shopping for furniture, apparently, when it comes to the IRS, they're freewheeling, baby, really willing to spend whatever it takes to make the office look fantastic. Because guess what the bill was? For the overhaul, $100 million. Now, granted, $100,000 perhaps each office, but $100 million on office furniture, that's what they spent. That is crazy. Now, I wonder why the IRS needs more money. They don't. It's insufficient funds for the facelift. Please give us more money for 2015. It just annoys you, doesn't it? Doesn't it just chap you to think about that? Do you know that that amount already exceeds what the agency spent during the entire 8 years under George W. Bush from 2002 to 2009? So currently, it's all kinds of things, millions to hundreds of thousands of dollars for each agency office. So it depends, as you kind of nitpick through the various offices, the regions, as to what was spent where. and how much was spent in whatever situation. It's just ludicrous. And it's your money and my money. It is our money. Partitions, shelving, wood furniture, new chairs, showcases. Washington, D.C. The office got a $2.6 million new system furniture service facelift. It was completed in 2012. In Iowa, $1.8 million makeover. $1.8 million. Did I say that? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So a total of 3,700 plus contracts for some of the things that I mentioned. Some of them deeper makeovers than other places. For example, contracts show that hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent solely on chairs for the office in Haverhill, Massachusetts. $618,000 was spent on task chairs phase two. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Seattle and Austin, $1.1 million in new furniture. It's good to be the contractors, though, isn't it? Very good to be them, because they made some money. Here's an example. Herman Miller was one of the companies that was contracted. They had chairs that cost $1,209, storage units that cost $1,749. Could they get not cheaper? They couldn't get cheaper chairs? They couldn't do that? Knowles, which was another contractor, their chairs retailed for $659. So another company awarded contracts claimed on its website it partners with the best interior product manufacturers in the industry. Well, guess what? We just paid for the three dreaded letters to have some of the best offices that you could possibly think of government-wise. Am I being hypercritical? Is it mean to pick on the three dreaded letters? I don't think so. $100 million on office furniture? Who's not going to be outraged by that when you look at our deficit, when you think of the way pennies are being squeezed in other directions? I get it if you have to get some new things. I mean, listen, I get they have to get partitions and some chairs and whatnot, but they had to go to the top contractor. They had to overall spend that much money? No way. Does not make sense. Doesn't make sense. All right, here's something else that doesn't make sense to me. Tiny Tim Geithner, one of the faves of President Obama, who I never thought was a good fit for Treasury Secretary. Some could disagree and say, oh, he's a brainiac when it comes to numbers, and you see what the boy genius was like at Goldman Sachs, but I'm sick of the Goldman connections. Who does it benefit? But he is no longer in that position. That goes to Jack Lew. What happens when you get out of office? You go and speak for a lot of money and you write a book. So the former Treasury Secretary has written a memoir. It's over 540 pages. In his new book, he claims that the White House, on more than one occasion, tried to put words in his mouth or outright asked him to bend the truth. They asked him to lie. The memoir is called Stress Test, Reflections on Financial Crises. He talks about, here we go again with the talk show prep, he talks about a Sunday talk show prep session in 2011 where top White House advisor, one of the top White House advisors, wanted him to say Social Security didn't contribute to the federal deficit. Geithner said he objected to it. He said it wasn't a main driver of the future deficits, but it did contribute. He said that the line was a dog whistle to the left. Dog whistle. And Geithner said it was a phrase he had never heard before. He had to explain the phrase was code to the Democratic base, signaling that we intend to protect Social Security. So what else did he have to lie about? What else was he told to lie about? A couple of things. And this is particularly interesting because this is on the heels of UN Ambassador Susan Rice's controversial appearance on Sunday shows after the 2012 Benghazi attacks, where she said the same thing. Well, she didn't say that. But the talking points, the email came out, and it showed that she was being told what she was supposed to say. What was the line? What was the company line? And then there was this person named Stephanie Cutter, a Democratic operative who was handling communication strategy, who said we would have a pool spray, which is a photo opportunity for the White House press, where Cutler said the president would make a brief statement along with Tim Geithner about executive compensation, responding to reports the Wall Street firms had paid their executives big bonuses while piling up record losses in 2008. Cutler said and handed him the text and said that what he was supposed to say was exactly that, that he was supposed to play down the executive bonuses, that he was supposed to skim the outrage. He was supposed to do that, not be ridiculous. But he said he thought it would look ridiculous on him. Thought it would look ridiculous and told her, I will not do it. I won't do it. They wanted him to really act it up. Really, really act it up. And he said he wouldn't comply. So apparently it is kind of like acting class. Here's your talking points. Here's the expressions you shall make. And this is where the X is where you're supposed to stand. That's embarrassing. So Tim Geithner heaps it on in the middle of the whole Benghazi thing. His memoir comes out at an interesting time, doesn't it? And then this last one, this is terrible. It's more than a blunder. A woman who wrote the fake Holocaust memoir has to pay back $22.5 million to the publisher. How do you do something like that? A Belgium-born Massachusetts woman admitted to fabricating a best-selling book about her experiences during World War II and the Holocaust. So she's going to pay back a whole bunch of loot. The judge ordered what he called the third and hopefully last opinion in the case back in the end of April, confirming a 2012 court ruling, setting aside a previous verdict of millions of dollars that she was were due to her publisher due to highly improper representations and activities. This is a 17-year-old story that started when the book Misha, A Memoir of the Holocaust Years, was published in 1997. This woman is now 76. So she rationalized her fraud, apparently, by saying that her parents' arrest and her subsequent harsh treatment at the hands of relatives who took her in and led her to being, to feeling like she was Jewish. But she was exposed in 2008 when researchers in the U.S. and Belgium said they couldn't find any evidence of her family in any Holocaust archives. In the intervening years, the book was translated into 18 languages, made into a French feature film, Surviving the Wolves. Oh, sad, sad, sad. Coming up, it's not sad. You'll be happy. We're going to go check the email next on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
A lot of opinions about everything from the VA and whether or not they're cleaning up that backlog to the revelations about the numbers of criminals that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement group released while they were waiting for the outcome of their deportation cases. A couple of other things, too, as well. So on that note, let's go and check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Kevin, who says, can't believe it, 88 convictions. That is shaky nonsense to me. The majority of cases, I guess, might have involved some of the nonviolent offenses. Still, rapists, kidnappers, murderers, 193? Murder convictions? Something's wrong here. What was the Department of Homeland Security thinking? Since when do we let murderers go free, or assault convicted people, or those who have kidnapped? I don't get it, Kate. How are they screwing this up so badly? They are screwing it up so badly. It's astonishing. to look at those numbers. It's really hard to justify it. It really is. I just don't think you can justify it. What do you say to that? What do you say to the fact that that many were released? So, released on bond, parole, under various alternatives to detention while they were waiting to be processed, seems 10 shades of wrong to me. I mean, even the numbers that I said, 420-some sexual assaults. What if you were sexually assaulted and the guy was just let out like that? Okay, bye-bye, see ya. What? Thank goodness that we saw these numbers, because it's pretty darn lax to me. Thousands of convicted criminals freed, waiting for their deportation proceedings. Let them go. Let them fly like the wind. Hopefully they'll fly straight. Let's cross our fingers. Yeah. Why not? Got some other comments on that. Adam says, dead wrong. Can't do that, Kate. Don't understand it. Why would anyone in their right mind allow this to happen? Well, there's what you're talking about. Anybody in their right mind. Somebody not in their right mind would do that. Well, we're too backed up, so we're going to have to do this. It's not as bad as we thought it was. How do you weigh that? And I hate that. How do you weigh? Well, it wasn't that kind of murder. It was, a hot-tempered murder. Here's one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas. And Jake says, Kate, I am really astonished, but perhaps I shouldn't be astonished, by what I've read about the fact that the IRS is out there taking my money and your money, not only once a year, but they're also taking it to build this furniture supply and make beautiful offices. That's the way it sounds like to me. Sure, that's not the case in every single IRS office, but it's ridiculous that over $100 million was spent. There is such a thing as belt tightening, and so you don't spruce up the office until we're just blowing and going. Yeah, something is very, very wrong about that. Incredibly wrong. Okay, this one from Alicia, Kate Delaney, long time no talk. Hope you are doing well. Don't know if you saw this or not, but John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, for now anyway, is pushing Jeb Bush to jump in to run for president. I know you've talked about it on your show, but a Bush and a Clinton, if that were how it were to go, going up against each other? My, oh, my, as much as things change, other things don't. Yeah, John Boehner said he was just sort of, he said the word was nudging. He was nudging Bush to run for president, and he wants to take up the whole immigration mantle in the meantime in small pieces, starting with border security. Boehner, by the way, was at the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce during a question and answer session with the editor of Texas Monthly. And immigration, with these big midterm elections, I think it gets shoved into the background and may stay there for a while, despite how furious many of us are in putting it all together to see what happens. And you have to deal with this. You have to deal with immigration. Otherwise, it's like the ostrich who sticks his head deep into the sand. If you don't deal with it now, imagine how much worse it's going to be. Because I believe it's a lot worse than anybody initially suspected. Don't think that's going to change. All right, this one from Rick. Kate, did you see the defense secretary, Chuck Hagel, saying transgender military is actually under review? You got to be kidding me. Listen, it's one thing to have gays in the military. It's another thing to have a transgender person in the military. Hagel said in an interview over the weekend that the ban on transgender service members in the military should be revised. That he's open to assessments because he goes back to the bottom line of every qualified American and people who can do it. But he says it's the medical support for transgender troops in crazy locations that the transgender issues in regard to military service are an area that are not defined enough. I can see that too. In March, the San Francisco State University, think tank released information talking about the transgender in the military and how that would be perceived and how safe somebody would be. They think there was about 15,450 transgender personnel who serve currently in the active guard and reserve components at this point. Really? It just seems so high to me. It seems, the number seems out of proportion. And they say there's no compelling medical reason. The U.S. Surgeon General says there's no compelling medical reason to maintain the ban. That they're open to assessments. And it goes back to that whole idea of Americans who are qualified, who want to serve, that should have an opportunity if they can do it. And it's just not defined enough. Countries like Australia, Canada, and the United Kingdom and Israel allow transgender people to serve in the military, by the way. So a simple ban on gay, lesbian, and bisexual service members, the don't ask, don't tell, was lifted in the U.S., as all of you know, in 2010. All right, let's kind of squeeze in another one here. I went off on a tangent. Paul says, hello, Ms. Kate. I have to tell you that I laugh out loud sometimes when I listen to you do We Can Count. You are so right, my dear. Our world revolves around numbers, not necessarily words anymore. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.